Truth News Network. Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN. Truth News Network. For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Experts series. Today, Experts Say, Part 2. Experts run roughshod throughout every department of the federal government. Anytime there's a question about any issue, security, foreign policy, even the economy, elections, border walls, you name it, there's an expert somewhere who factually knows the answer to any question about any of these. Today, we're going to look at a few of those, specifically U.S. intelligence matters. You may have noticed the heads of the leading U.S. intelligence agencies just testified before Congress about the current status of the U.S. regarding all intelligence matters domestically and internationally. Before we look at a few of their current findings, let's look at a few findings of previous intelligence officials, experts, and compare those to today's. So, there's no better place to start than with the President of the United States. Remember all the hoo-ha-ha about Russian meddling in American elections? Remember when then-candidate Trump was griping publicly that Russians were influencing the 26th election in favor of his opponent? Everyone in D.C. laughed at Trump about those allegations, even President Obama. So much so that he went to the press to denigrate Mr. Trump for claiming U.S. elections could even possibly be rigged.
I have never seen in my lifetime or in modern political history any presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before votes have even taken place. It's unprecedented. It happens to be based on no facts. Every expert, regardless of political party, regardless of ideology, conservative or liberal, who has ever examined these issues in a serious way will tell you that instances of significant voter fraud are not to be found, that keep in mind, elections are run by state and local officials, which means that there are places like Florida, for example, where you've got a Republican governor whose Republican appointees are going to be running and monitoring a whole bunch of these election sites. The notion that somehow if Mr. Trump loses Florida, it's because of those people that you have to watch out for, that is both irresponsible. And by the way, doesn't really show the kind of leadership and toughness that you'd want out of a president. If you start whining before the game's even over, if whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else, then you don't have what it takes to be in this job. But the larger point that I want to emphasize here is that there is no serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections, in part because they're so decentralized and the numbers of votes involved. There's no evidence that that has happened in the past or that there are instances in which that will happen this time. And so I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
Well, we all know that the Russians did everything they could to impact the 2016 presidential election against Hillary and for her opponent, Donald Trump, don't we? After all, Vladimir Putin knew Russia would do better with his good buddy in the White House, Donald, instead of that brazen bastion of truthfulness and justice as president, Hillary Clinton. After all, Trump promised in his campaign to take the U.S. back to its former prominence as having the strongest and most powerful military on earth, to force Russia to get out of Ukraine and to stay out of the Middle East. Hillary, on the other hand, had just supervised the sale of massive amounts of U.S. uranium through a Canadian sham company to a Russian company that was owned by the Russian government. Russia preferred Trump to Hillary? Poppycock. In July of 2017, Truth News Network published a story about this very thing. Here's just a portion of that story. Remember when the president said this, then President Obama, in that video, in that audio bite we just played for you, quote, "There is no serious person out there who would suggest that you could even rig America's elections. There is no evidence that has happened in the past or that there are instances that could happen this time. So I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining." That was in October of 2016. One of two things is apparent. Either Barack Obama ignored the real news he had received from the intelligence community 2 months before saying the above, or the real news was not real at all, but fake news. This is from that story that we published back, let's see, when was that? October of 2016? Wow. Stating either one of those two to be correct would be pure speculation on my part, but one thing is certain. Russiagate is alive and kicking. Whether real or fake, it has already cost taxpayers millions of dollars as multiple investigations by Congress, the FBI, and now Special Counsel Robert Mueller are engaged and all aggressively pursuing any evidence of collusion by anyone affiliated with Donald Trump or even the president himself with the Russians. From that article, we continue. I have asked this question before its significance bears its repeating. With the most elaborate, most well-equipped, most proficient intelligence gathering capabilities on the face of the earth, is it plausible to believe at this point, almost a year into Russiagate, not a single shred of evidence of Russian collusion by the Trump organization has been leaked to and/or unearthed by the press? Certainly in this 24/7 news cycle in which we live, that has turned into the 24/7 leak cycle, if there was any evidence of collusion, we would certainly know about it. Further, I hear every day this statement from multiple news sources. Every intelligence agency has confirmed the Russians tried to hack the 2016 presidential election. So far, that is not true. Even the New York Times corrected that fake story by stating that just two of the 16 agencies had participated in the preparation of a report that was then given to the Department of National Intelligence, the DNI, about Russian hacking. Later, it was revealed that 13 hand-picked intelligence employees prepared that report in its entirety. No big deal, right? Normally, when such a report is prepared, several hundred intelligence specialists are involved. Even if their conclusion was legitimate and accurate, where is the evidence? When I ask that question to people in a position of authority, all I am told is that the evidence of Russian election interference is classified, since it's part of an ongoing investigation. Really? Are we expected to believe that any evidence at all of anything illegal in the political world of D.C. can possibly remain silent, no matter if classified? Don't tell the news media that. They'd go out of business not having any fake news from anonymous expert source leaks to report. And I summed up that report last year by stating this. Based on simple logic, I have over this past weekend, in the midst of numerous hours of exhaustive investigation looking for Russian election hacking evidence, made a blockbuster conclusion. There was no Russian attempts to hack into the 2016 election that had not been attempted in previous American elections over and over again. And the Obama administration knew about them for years and did nothing about them. That was my story over a year ago. My conclusion about President Obama's expert opinion, either his experts were incorrect, maybe they were politically motivated, or he purposely misstated the truth. And I'll leave that up to you to decide. So let's look at U.S. Intelligence Department officials. Let's look at them first in the past, and then we'll fast forward and talk about it today. It's doubtful that few Americans, if any, really feel confident in the reliability and veracity of the intelligence that is given to us from the experts in these U.S. intelligence agencies. Through the last couple of years, time and time again, we hear, see, and read reports of leadership at the FBI, the CIA, the Department of National Intelligence, and NSA give Americans expert opinions based on information provided them that is always classified. Have you noticed that? We can't be trusted with any real information. They have to put it together and then filter it to us, at least what we're eligible to hear or see. It seems that when they couch that presentation with the term classified, we are intrigued to hear what they say, like it's a secret that they shouldn't tell us. But because we're Americans, they'll push that envelope a bit and go ahead and tell us at least a little. Intelligence agency heads have been falling to the wayside during the Trump administration. I'm sure you've noticed this. These experts have been fired or have resigned, and most of those resignations were forced just from the FBI. I'll just read the list. James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Rybicki, James Baker, Mike Cortan, Josh Campbell, James Turgow, Greg Bauer, Michael Steinbach, and John Giacalone. Then there are these from the Department of Justice that are non-FBI departures. Sally Yates, Bruce Orr, David Laufman, Rachel Brand, Tricia Beth Anderson, John P. Carlin, Peter Kadzik, Mary McCard, Matthew Axelrod, Preet Bharara. You remember him? He was U.S. Attorney, Southern District of New York. He was fired, and along with him, 45 other U.S. attorneys there. Then there was Sharon McGowan, Diana Flynn, Vanita Gupta, and Joel McElvain. There are several others since these. And I wonder why that's happening in such droves. Never before in American history have we seen this. It seems that these experts have been caught up in some very nefarious activities. Now, let me just point this out. In the written story on our website, you can see the reason for each of these experts' departures from the FBI and DOJ. They are explained next to their names in that list, and I just didn't want to do it in the audio version of today. Let's fast forward to the U.S. intelligence today. Now, very much today, Congress invited the current heads of U.S. intelligence agencies to sit and discuss the state of intelligence in today's Trump administration just a few days ago. In that meeting, various members of Congress asked those intelligence officials to respond to specific and foreign policy positions taken publicly by this president. Remember, these folks are the bulwark of the American intelligence community. The topics: Afghanistan, Iran, North Korea, and ISIS. Note, pay close attention to their disagreement with the president almost across the board. First, obviously, Afghanistan. Here's what President Trump tweeted about Afghanistan. Negotiations are proceeding well in Afghanistan after 18 years of fighting. Fighting continues, but the people of Afghanistan want peace in this never-ending war. We will soon see if talks will be successful. And here's what Dan Coats, Director Dan Coats, said. Quote, "We assess neither the Afghan government nor the Taliban will be able to gain a strategic advantage in the Afghan war in the coming war year, even if coalition support remains at current levels. However, current efforts to achieve an agreement with the Taliban and decisions on a possible withdrawal of U.S. troops could play a key role in shaping the direction of the country in the coming years." Sounds like a very politically correct statement for the director to say, doesn't it? This comes, of course, in the wake of the president publicly announcing a pending U.S. withdrawal of its troops from Afghanistan. So Mr. Coates just kind of, as an expert, took issue with the president making that conclusion, or maybe it was just the president making it publicly. Well, let's move across to the West a bit, to Iran. Iran's Ministry of Defense has published a video purportedly showing the launch of a new cruise missile, saying it has a 1,350-kilometer, that's an 840-mile range. In the 37-second video on the ministry website, the launch was shown from different angles, with the projectile finally hitting somewhere in the desert. Iran has missile capability of up to about 2,000 kilometers, or 1,250 miles right now, far enough to reach arch-enemy Israel and U.S. military bases in the region. So, here's what the president tweeted about Iran. The intelligence people seem to be extremely passive and naive when it comes to the dangers of Iran. They are wrong. When I became president, Iran was making trouble all over the Middle East and beyond. Since ending the terrible Iran nuclear deal, they are much different, but a source of potential danger and conflict. They are testing rockets last week, and more are coming very close to the edge. Their economy is now crashing, which is the only thing holding them back. Be careful of Iran. Perhaps intelligence should go back to school. So, here's what Pete King, congressman, and Ms. Haskell, who is now the director of the CIA, had to say in conversation. Pete King. But since our departure from the deal, talking about the Iran nuclear deal, they have abided by the terms of that deal, even though we pulled out. Gina Haspel said this. Yes, they are making some preparations that would increase their ability to take a step back if they make that decision. So at the moment, technically, they are in compliance. Let me ask you this question. Okay. They're all experts. The CIA is the ultimate foreign intelligence apparatus of the United States government. We pulled out of the Iran deal. Folks, we knew as much then as we know now about what is actually going on in Iran. The only way we would know anything would be if we were over there physically and spying. And we're not doing that. We don't have access to keep them honest. But when we watch them, and international reports that I just read you about their Ministry of Defense publishing that video showing the launch of a new cruise missile. Cruise missiles now. What's next? ICBMs? ICBMs, obviously, those are intercontinental ballistic missiles, or missiles that could carry a warhead, a nuclear warhead, to the United States. Do we absolutely positively know they don't have that? According to the director of the CIA, she says, at the moment, technically, they are in compliance with that old agreement that we backed out of. But we have no way of knowing for sure if they aren't developing nuclear weapons, nuclear warheads for missiles. And by the way, they told the world publicly they were doing that. Back east, North Korea. Here's what the president tweeted. North Korea relationship is best it has ever been with the U.S. No testing, getting remains, hostages returned, decent chance of denuclearization. Time will tell what will happen with North Korea. But at the end of the previous administration, the relationship was horrendous and very bad things were about to happen. Now a whole different story. I look forward to seeing Kim Jong-un shortly. Progress being made. A big difference. Here's what Director Coates had to say. Quote, regarding North Korea, the regime has halted its provocative behavior related to its weapons of mass destruction program. North Korea has not conducted any nuclear-capable missile or nuclear test in more than a year, and it has dismantled some of its nuclear infrastructure. As well, Kim Jong-un continues to demonstrate openness to the denuclearization and of the Korean Peninsula. Having said that, we currently assess that North Korea will seek to retain its weapons of mass destruction capabilities and is unlikely to completely give up its nuclear weapons and production capabilities because its leaders ultimately view nuclear weapons as critical to regime survival. Our assessment is bolstered by our observations of some activity that is inconsistent with full denuclearization. While we assess that sanctions and exports have been effective and largely maintained, North Korea seeks to mitigate the effects of the U.S.-led pressure campaign through diplomatic engagement, counter pressure against the sanctioned regime, and direct sanctions evasion. That was Director Coates, his observations. Now, keep in mind what's been going on. Director Coates was speaking to an American populace that pretty much doesn't remember a whole lot about North Korea in the past. Folks, three generations of Kim Jong-un's family, his father and his grandfather, are the ones that put this program in place, that put a bullseye on the United States as North Korea's arch enemy. They hate us, and they're hell-bent on the destruction of the United States. So that has been perpetuated. All of their military infrastructure has been pointed and aimed and developed to take on the United States. Donald Trump has been president now for 2 years. And well within that 2 years, he took actions, he confronted and met with Kim Jong-un and started the process. Americans need to understand, there are three generations of North Koreans that have always been told, since they could be told anything, we are hell-bent on destroying North Korea, we being the United States of America. Experts in our intelligence community need to understand that and understand that we're a long way from where we were. We may be a long way from getting it totally resolved, but the fact that all the testing, firing missiles over Tokyo into the Sea of Japan, and all of the aggressive actions taken against our friends to the south, South Korea, those have stopped. Just in the last 2 years, we've made some great headway. Now, I'm not an expert, but I can see and read and listen. Director Coates obviously is leaving that out. And then there's ISIS, what the president tweeted. When I became president, ISIS was out of control in Syria and running rampant. Since then, tremendous progress made, especially over the last 5 weeks. Caliphate will soon be destroyed, unthinkable 2 years ago. What Coates said, quote, while ISIS is nearing territorial defeat in Iraq and Syria, the group has returned to its guerrilla warfare roots while continuing to plot attacks and direct its supporters worldwide. ISIS is intent on resurging and still commands thousands of fighters in Iraq and Syria. While we have defeated the caliphate with a couple of little villages left, we should not underestimate the ability of terrorist groups, particularly ISIS and affiliated groups with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups, that they are operating not simply on what takes place on the battlefield that gives them strength or weakness, but they are operating on the basis of a theocracy, a theology, an ideology that we will continue to see for perhaps years ahead in various places of the world. ISIS will continue to be a threat to the U.S., and we're going to have to continue, as Director Haspel said, to keep our eyes on that and our interest in the realization that this terrorist threat is going to continue for some time. Now, real quickly, let me just make some comments here. Former experts have pointed out that the Middle East is way different than the rest of the world. Those Muslim countries, they don't want democracy. And our government thinking that we can force democracy on those countries, is not very smart. Let me just point something out. We know what Islam says about infidels, and Americans, Christians, are infidels. And it's either convert the infidel or kill the infidel. That's in their religion. That's in their government running of Muslims' lives. That's been in place for thousands of years. Some of those countries, the ones that really don't want Christianity and democracy, are going to continue to keep fighting as long as we're trying to push something down there for them. Let me tell you a specific that you may not even know about. When Saddam Hussein was over Iraq, do you know that the Christian community thrived in Iraq? That he never touched Christian churches? He never messed with Christians? There were no persecutions going on of Christians? And when we took Saddam Hussein out of power under the guise of he had weapons of mass destruction that we've never verified were there, what that did was took the control of what has turned into the slaughter of thousands of Christians in Iraq, simply because we think they deserve our government and our lifestyle. That's just a thought. That's just a point. Now, we have 2,000 troops in Syria right now. 2,000 is all we have there on the ground. Do you know that in less than 3 hours, we can mount attacks on any part of Syria that the United States, our military, our allies say that we need to attack in 3 hours from ships in the Mediterranean or in one of the seas around Syria? Why would we want to keep boots on the ground and put our precious men and women, young men and women, who are there serving our government needlessly in the way of suicide bombers and those IEDs, all of the obstacles and the threats that our troops experience when they're on the ground? What would we lose if we just put them back on those battleships or aircraft carriers and watched? We have drones flying all the time. We, with high-definition cameras, can see every square inch of Syria, know what's going on. We know what the Russians are doing without having a single boot on the ground. I'm not an expert, but experts, other than those that you just heard quoted, say we should and obviously could do that. In summary today, I would love for American intelligence to be motivated by just one thing, the truth. Unfortunately, it has become clearer and clearer that former and current intelligence agency heads are not necessarily driven by that one thing. In today's Washington, it is apparent that much of what we see and hear is driven, at least in part, by political motivation. Fired FBI Director James Comey illustrates how intelligence experts are polluted by political and personal agendas. Comey totally botched the email server investigation of candidate Clinton, violated FBI and DOJ protocol in multiple ways, and then committed multiple felony violations of his own, mishandling of classified information and documents. John Brennan was caught lying under oath to Congress, wasn't prosecuted for it. James Clapper took the Steele dossier directly to CNN, where he had just signed on as a contributing expert, even though he knew its sourcing was funded in part by the Clinton campaign and that most of it was unverified, and in doing so, violated multiple regulations and DOJ operating procedures. We could go on and on. But let's just cap this off by making this position statement. Americans not only want the best intelligence apparatus in the world, Americans deserve the best intelligence apparatus in the world. And Americans no longer believe that we have that right now. It's because of a combination of things, but all of those things boil down to this: people. Intelligence operatives, experts, are people. And people are each different from other people. But in Washington, we've made it very clear the driving force of most there are power and all that power can bring to them personally. No, everyone in intelligence is not dishonest, self-serving, and politically driven. I get that. But many are. And because of that, Congress and the White House are going to have to, in unity somehow, recreate the way American intelligence operates. And not from the top down. As this president has said over and over again, the workers in intelligence are rock solid on the most part. The tragedy that strikes again and again always seems to originate at the top of these agencies, at the expert level. Many of those have been exposed and many have been eliminated, but what remains in their wakes are all those processes that allowed them to weave their webs of deceit. Those must be eliminated. So, Mr. President, many Americans hope you have 6 years to correct those problems, but you may only have two more to tackle them. I doubt I need to say this, but you just need to roll your sleeves up and get right to it. And one more thing, you have smartly from afar allowed Special Counsel Mueller the distance and freedom to run his traps, trying to trap you. That has been a great decision you've made. I encourage you to let it play out. It's fairly obvious that he's on a dead-end street, and I think you should let him crash. Democrats will never accept that he, an expert, does not and will not find any collusion between your organization and Russia regarding that election. In their looking, his group is trying to create some process crimes with which they can charge those in your organization and possibly even you. Let them look. They're only thinning your air and spending millions of our dollars in their doing so. But it's worth it to us just to watch them continue to run around in circles, screaming, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." That seems to be what today's experts do. That's a wrap on today's story, the second part of our look at experts here in the United States. Thank you so much for joining us. Love to hear from you, dan@truthnewsnet.org. You got questions? Your opinion matters. Let us hear from you. We'll see you again very soon. Till then, so long, everybody.
We don't tell you what to think,
but we give you truth to think about. This is TNN, the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.